Blog Talk Radio.
Team Eneke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Eneke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teamineke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you, Huskies? Gee-ha!
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto. You're listening to Must You Huskies, part of the Twine Group Radio Network, and brought to you by Denver Dog Works. It is an exciting day in Iditarod history. Lance Mackey has done it. He is now a four-time NA Road champion, and I am here with my co-host and business partner, Michelle. How are you?
And wife. I'm doing great.
And wife. We are excited to report that Lance Mackey has done it. He is a four-time NA Road champion. And we posted a little article on our blog from our website at denverdogworks.com. And I want Michelle to share that with everybody that is listening.
Sure. Candlelight and Books equals Four Pete for Mackey by Dr. Robert Forto. Four-time Iditarod champion Lance Mackey will go down in history as the only musher to date to do the unprecedented, win the Iditarod four times in a row. Mackey, 39, was born and raised in Alaska. The back-to-back-to-back-to-back Iditarod champion and four-time Yukon Quest champion and current record holder says he began mushing at birth. I grew up around racing and the Iditarod. I was at the finish line in 1978 to see my father Dick win by 1 second. In 1993, my older brother Rick won. Both my father and brother won wearing bib number 13 in their sixth Iditarod, says Mackey. Mackey's finish today was like no other in history. Not only did he win the last great race for the fourth time in a row, he did it in typical Mackey style with little to no rest and blowing past the competitors, King, Anderson, Baker, Neff, and 2010 Yukon Quest champion Hans Gatt. In an interview this year on the website Mushing TV, www.mushing.tv, Mackey explains how he prepares for racing the Iditarod with little to no sleep at all. He explains that he starts off by turning out all the lights and turning the heat on full blast, and he reads by candlelight. He increases the time each day until he has no problem staying up for extended periods of time. The winner of this year's Iditarod wins $50,400 and a new Dodge truck. Does Mackey really need another truck? He has won the prize the last 4 years in a row. I think last year he claimed a new car for his wife, Tanya. He does have three children, Amanda, Brittany, and Kane, all of driving age. Maybe they can start a Mackey convoy.
You know, Mackey won the race today in 8 days, 23 hours, just shy of the record held by Martin Boozer. What was the time of his father, Dick, when he won in 1978?
Well, since I was only 6 years old, I did have to look this up. In 1978, Dick Mackey finished in 14 days, 18 hours, 52 minutes, and 24 seconds. That's 1 second ahead of Rick Swenson, who is running the race this year.
He sure is. And, you know, it's amazing that a person can win this race four times in a row. What did they say? He's won it every year since 2007?
Yes.
And that's a remarkable feat. And it still surprises me that somebody that can survive cancer and do everything that he has done to get himself back healthy, that he can still run 1,049 miles in below zero temperatures and still pull out a win.
Well, what's also remarkable is that the Yukon Quest is a 1,000-mile race as well, and he ran that this year. I don't recall where he finished, but what I'm understanding is that if you run the Yukon Quest, your dog's ability to even finish in the Iditarod, which is ran within a month apart.
A couple of weeks this year, I believe.
Right. It's almost impossible. And not only did Hans Gatt come in second place, he won the Yukon Quest this year with the dogs that he brought on. I believe he's running, I think I read 11 of the dogs that he had at the Yukon Quest.
I'm not sure on that, to be exact. You can always find that on yukonquest.com. That's all the up-to-the-minute news and notes from the second great race in dog sledding circles, the Yukon Quest. I have to say something. You know, my good buddy Hugh Neff, he said it, he was quoted today when he was leaving White Mountain. He says that Mackie could take your dogs and beat his own team, saying Hugh Neff's dogs. I thought that was pretty cool that he was pretty much saying that this guy is unstoppable.
Right. And, you know, earlier you proclaimed that his dogs are crazy. When you were up there at the Iditarod start, that's pretty much what you saw when you saw his dogs, is that they seemed crazy. Now, for us people that are dog people, mushers in particular, we know what that means. That means that the dogs were excited, jumping, hitting the end of the gang lines, popping and ready to go. But for other people, that doesn't mean what you and I think it means.
And a good comparison is how a lot of the European mushers run. Their dogs are just so stoic and almost militaristic. They're doing a perfect line out. They're doing a perfect stand stay while the musher's getting ready to go. But when I was up there and I saw Lance and his dogs were just raring to go. And some of the mushers that I talked to up there said that's how he keeps his dogs. He keeps them, a little bit
wild,
a little bit wild, so to speak. Now we're not talking about nutso. We're talking about 100%.
Well, they're
adrenaline.
Not the family pet.
Yeah, they're 100% adrenaline driven, and that goes a lot with the style of these new fast mushers. One of my friends on Facebook said today that she is more excited about the mushers in the middle of the pack, because those are the more traditional type mushers that are doing it kind of old school style. They don't have these dogs that can break unfathomable paces at 8 days. These guys are coming in at 10, 11, 12 days. And she's right. You're getting back towards more traditional type mushing. And, of course, that's what our team is into as well.
Well, I kind of disagree with that. Because here I am looking at a guy that was pretty much born into this race. I mean, his father did it in 1978. I don't know how much farther from tradition you can get. I think that he's adapted to how the race has evolved to show that you can get better and better and better. I don't think that means that he is breaking away from tradition. You know, in the 70s, they weren't running a lot of these Alaskan Huskies.
That's exactly right. They were still running more of the traditional type dogs.
Siberians that are still to this day faster than your Siberian Husky that's AKC registered and ready for the dog show.
As some of the Siberian mushers put it, pretty sled dogs.
Yeah, fat and happy.
That's okay. That's okay.
That is totally fine. Don't misunderstand me. I just think that Mackie was as much into tradition as anybody else, and I think that people are against the way that he's running his dogs because, quite frankly, he's just killing them.
Killing who?
The competition.
Yeah, don't say that he's killing his dogs, otherwise we'll have PETA on us so fast.
That's not what I said. I absolutely think that he is a strong competitor, and it's not just about how he's running his dogs. It's about how he prepares himself for this race. You cannot be a musher that just walks out your door one day and gets on the back of the sled and thinks that you can finish the Iditarod, let alone win it.
Another one of my friends on Facebook was talking in the discussion today, and we were talking about how this race is prepared for. And one of my friends said $10,000 a year for 13 years and a whole lot of phone bills that get paid a little bit late.
Well, absolutely. I just know that you've been training for about a year in an indoor training facility, which I won't name names, but I think it's a little soft on you, and I'm waiting for you to go back outside and start some real hard training.
You know, I'm looking forward to getting some dogs in the very near future, and I was just looking on the web today to get our first cart for training leaders.
We have a cart.
That thing's antiquated and old. We got that old, from old school Frank Hall in Michigan. I doubt very seriously old Frank is still around, but I do recall getting some very good harnesses and a very nice cart from him.
Yeah, and we still have the cart. It is in our garage currently, and it still can be used. It's just that I think you're afraid of that cart.
No, not afraid at all. I just think it's a little bit too heavy to be training a leader or two. So we only have a few minutes left, so let's get back into this and talk about the people that are still part of this race. Hans Gott is in Nome now, and he is in second place, followed by Jeff King, whose last checkpoint is in safety. So this is not exactly up-to-the-minute stuff, but as of last report on AlaskaDailyNews.com, Jeff King is in third currently, followed by Ken Anderson, whose last checkpoint is White Mountain. In fifth place is John Baker. In sixth place is Hugh Neff, so it does look like Hugh and his clan of sled dogs will be able to deliver the Cat in the Hat book to the children of Nome. As we spoke about, that is one of the things that he is doing to help the people of that great state.
It looks like the rest of the pack is really slowing down compared to the top three leaders. I mean, still in White Mountain, that's 77 miles away from Nome. That could be another whole day.
Well, at 8 to 9 miles an hour, it is quite a bit of a distance. In seventh place is Smith. In eighth place is Sebastian. In ninth place is Dallas Seavey, the youngest musher. Young Dallas is doing very well. Just a little bit ahead of his father, Mitch, and their last checkpoint is also White Mountain. And in 11th place is Ray Reddington Jr., the legacy family of the Iditarod, Ray Reddington. And the first woman musher, she has dropped five spots since our report of last night, is Allie Zirkel. In 20th place is Rick Swinson. We were just talking about Rick and his Iditarod run way back in 1978. So you have to think, how many years is that? That is, Michelle.
We don't want to tell people how old we are. It's 32 years.
No, it is not 32 years from now. 22 years.
No. I was born in 1972.
32 years, yes, 32 years. So
now,
old Rick,
you seriously owe me an apology because you just told everyone how old I am.
There you go. So good old Rick, he's still hanging in there. I don't think any of the other mushers from back in the day are still mushing at this time. Dee Dee Jonro is in 22nd place, and in 48th place is Jamaican musher Newton Marshall, and I believe that he is running one of Lance's teams, one of his B or C teams. Is that right?
I think so. Now, you know, you called Rick old. I don't know if he's going to concur with that. Since in 1978, he was 26 when he ran the race for the first time, I believe. And by Iditarod standards in the 70s, he was awful young.
Yeah, and he's still doing very well. I guess he's in his late 50s now and doing well. So I wish Rick all the luck in the world and all the best.
It says on here his career began in 1976, so that was his second race.
There you go. So, Michelle, anything else you want to add? I hope tomorrow that we will have some more standings and talk about some of the behind-the-scenes type stories that you don't read about necessarily on the mainstream websites. I know everybody in the world that is paying attention to this race looks at Iditarod.com and Iditarod Insider and things like that. But we always try to get a little bit of a news and nuggets from behind the scenes as well. Michelle?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that in the next couple of days we're going to report on the top third place through 20th place mushers coming in safe and sound, and then the middle of the pack. And then also I was hoping that we would do a nice report on the Red Lantern carrier of the Iditarod this year and explain to everybody what exactly that is.
There you go. And currently, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his last name, but in 57th place is Hank
De Bruin.
Hank De Bruin is currently the Red Lantern Award carrier, I guess it would be called, but there's still a lot of racing to go.
Well, and he's only at New Alto.
Yeah, so he's pretty far back there, but he's trudging along and doing very well. So we'll see how it pans out. We will be here every night until the 21st, and if all the mushers aren't in, we'll do a special report to talk about the Red Lantern Award when one of these mushers does cross the finish line as the Red Lantern winner.
Absolutely. Keep in mind that the Iditarod will need sponsors, and your donations are much appreciated, and it starts today for next year's race.
There you go. And I believe you were reading that Jeff King donated, what did it say, $50,000 for 2010 race?
Yes, he heard that the Iditarod race was not doing well with sponsorships this year, so he donated himself $50,000 towards the purse. And as you know, the purse to Lance Mackey was $50,400, but that's just his purse. That doesn't include the purses to the rest of the finishers, which, if I am mistaken, everybody gets a piece of the prize, even a small amount.
Every musher that finishes at least gets their entry fee back.
That's right. We need to be aware that that truck has to be paid for.
I believe the truck is donated by Anchorage Chrysler Dodge, and I remember him at the Mushers Banquet in Anchorage, and that is one character there. I mean, he comes out, he is Mr. Flash.
Who?
The owner of Anchorage Chrysler Dodge. He came out in a fancy suit, and he was talking like he was from Texas or somewhere down that way. His name is Rod Vud, I believe is how you pronounce it, and that guy there, he is a character, and he's been donating
he's a car salesman. That's what he's supposed to be.
He's been donating trucks for I don't know how long, and it's a nice a prize to have. And as we reported, good old Lance, he has four of those now. So we'll see what happens this year. So, Michelle, we have to close. We're running out of time. We will see you guys tomorrow night around the same time. You can find us from this point forward on mushingradio.com. That is mushingradio.com. Michelle, have a good night. We'll see you on the trail. Never forget your dreams. Goodbye.